Let's welcome back to This Week in the Association. Kevin, welcome back with us here today. Let's talk about the St. Paul Saints for a moment, who had some big moves this week, starting with John Straka re-signing with the Blue Jays. Robert Coe is back. He seems to be the natural fit to take that slot.
Yes, I do believe that Coe will be starting the game on Friday night against the series opener against the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks. So he's been stretched out a little bit. He's been in a few games. He's looked good. So I'm sure he'll be on a pitch count, but it sounds like he is going to be the choice to take Straka's spot in the rotation. Good to have a veteran arm to throw out there instead of an untried rookie. So good. Hopefully things work out for Robert, and he'll be a nice arm to add.
It's good to have him back as well, because the pitching staff's been a bit in flux, especially in the starting rotation. Dustin Crenshaw was here for a brief period of time. Ryan Zimmerman started out so hot and is struggling a little bit now. Really, the only name that we're consistently looking at for victories is Mark Hamburger at this point, and having Cole return has got to be a big shot in the arm.
Yeah, if we would have done a show in the beginning of the year and said that Benji Waite has kind of been your number two starter, we would have both been wondering if we were crazy. But Waite's been, other than Hamburger, Waite's been the only real consistent starter. Jason Creasy threw well the other night. His line doesn't show because bullpen didn't have a good night behind him unless some inherited runners score. But yeah, it's been pretty inconsistent behind Hamburger and Waite, and time for some guys to step up.
The one area where the team is really suffering at this point is through a rash of injuries. We've seen Breland Almodova was hurt a few weeks ago, and Danny Oko is out with a concussion now. I'm wondering how this affects the team, you know, not only on the field, but in the locker room as well.
I think it's fine. It's a matter of the new guys integrating themselves into the clubhouse. And it sounds like the cast is off of Almodova, and I'm hearing 2 to 3 weeks. So we'll see him back in the lineup soon enough. So that'll be a plus if he gets back to the form he was showing before the injury. Cass Carter's played decently. Tim Caldwell came back into the lineup last night. So you don't want to see Danny O go down, but it was kind of convenient that when he did go down, Caldwell was ready to step in. So they didn't really miss a beat there.
One guy who's really been stepping in for the team has been Mitch Delfino, signed last week by the team. You know, I was kind of surprised at this move of releasing Tanner Vavra and bringing in Mitch Delfino, but he's proven me wrong.
Yeah, you just judge it on numbers alone. You know, was hitting, I believe, around 220 for the Redhawks, and Tanner Vavra was around 237, and you just kind of thought, well, why are we downgrading? But if you look at Delfino's resume, he has made it high up as AAA, and he can play first base, which, from what I'm hearing with Tony Thomas, is going to be playing second base regularly. So, and Brady Shoemaker has been dealing with a hamstring injury, so they brought Delfino in to play first base, and he has one of the highest fielding percentages in the league this year, so a good guy to plug in there.
Well, before heading around the rest of the North Division, we're going to bring in Charlie this week. I understand a big announcement. Something going on good with Charlie this week.
Oh, you're not going to believe this. I'm just going to let Charlie tell you.
Charlie! Charlie! Hello! This is Raj.
Rob, Charlie, how you doing there, buddy?
I tell you what, I'm doing really good.
Well, what's going on?
Let me tell you. Well, Raj, I think I may have found love.
Really? Who's that?
Well, I was at the ballpark the other night, and I'm watching the ball game, having a hot dog, and this fine woman came by, and she planted a kiss on my cheek. Her name is Gert, and she is one of the finest women I've ever seen.
You mean Gert the Flirt?
Well, I don't know if she's got a nickname like that, but I know once I met her, I thought we had some chemistry. I put my hot dog down, and I was talking with Flirt.
Wow, that's big news there, Charlie.
Well, I think there's something going on because I asked her about a button she was wearing. It had some letters on it, like an I and a Y and a Q. And after I asked her, she goes, "I like you." Well, I tell you what, not many women have said that to me lately, to be honest with you, Raj. But I think there's something going on there. And I got up later to go to the bathroom, and when I came back, I felt something hit my hind end. And here was, it was Gert. She hit me with an inflatable bat in the hiney.
Wow, that must have really been kind of a supercharge for you there.
Yeah, I think there's something really cooking. And Gert, if you're out there, give me a phone call. I'd like to take you out, maybe have a hot dog at the ball game, or maybe we can find that shift guy and make him have us make us a real nice dinner. If you can, my phone number is 952-807-4655. Ask for Charlie.
Well, Charlie, that's great news, and we hope that Gert does call you.
I think she will. Crack, who knows? We could have a ballpark wedding later on this year.
Boy, that'd really be something.
Yes, it would. Well, Raj, I got to get going. I'm going to go buy myself a new wardrobe. And if I'm going to be with Gert, I got to be looking sharp. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, good luck to you there, Charlie.
All right. Thanks, Raj.
Wow, that's big news right there, Kevin.
Oh, I tell you what, we were driving home the other night. You know, there's cloud nine, and then there's like, I'd say Charlie was on about cloud 14. It was, yeah. I'm trying to break it to him that, you know, maybe it's not happening, but, you know, what the heck, let's let him kind of, let me have this moment, and, you know, eventually you'll figure things out. You'll be back to us early self, unfortunately.
We definitely hope the best for Charlie there. Maybe that'll get him to be more happy about coming to the ballpark now.
Yeah, you would think so, but, yeah, who knows how that man is wired.
We might have to tell Gert not to break his heart, so, you know, because we can't have that going on. Yeah, who knows
true.
What it'd be like then. Yeah. Well, let's head back.
Gert could be flirting with disaster.
For sure. Well, let's head around the North Division and begin with Winnipeg. They enter the game as the hottest team in the North at 7-3 over their last 10. A big reason behind that is Dave Bergen, who has a 14-game hitting streak, raising his average over 40 points. This team seems to be riding along his success.
Yeah, you know, as one guy goes, so does the rest of the lineup. And, you know, we've said it every week here. Winnipeg does have a solid lineup. And it was just a matter of getting enough pitching to make it all work. And they kind of scuffled a bit in last month, but it looks like they're riding the ship.
Well, the team is playing a lot better, but the starting staff still struggling some. Kevin McGovern has been lights out for the organization. Carl and O'Brien have been guys that have proven that they can win, but can they count on Newting and Dotson to be the 4 and 5 starters that help to get them into the playoffs?
At this point, I would say I doubt it. I mean, the numbers don't lie. It's not been working for either one of them. I guess you could say O'Brien got a complete game last night. They only got 5 innings in up in Winnipeg, and the Goldeyes clobbered Sioux City 16-1. But O'Brien, he sat through the rain delays, and I guess he wanted to make sure to get the win. But, yeah, he threw well enough. I guess when you got a 15-run cushion, you can kind of relax. But, yeah, the other two guys definitely need to step up, or I can see Rick Forney going out and finding a couple guys to step in.
Well, we've talked a lot about the offensive struggles of the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks. Chris Grayson really seems to be changing that trend.
Yeah, Grayson has been a really good addition to that lineup up there. The guy we were talking about, Teori De La Cruz, has struggled.
struggled in his time up there, and Trevor Adams has been pretty mercurial. He'll crank one out of the park every once in a while, but it sounds like the strikeouts are starting to add up for him up there. So, yeah, you get the names in, some pan out, some don't, but Grayson has been the one that has stood out for the Hawks so far.
The Red Hawks have had a pretty outstanding bullpen. They had two new arms in there, and I hope I'm saying this right, in Anthony Pasillo and Jose Navarre. They're looking like they're just having a plethora of riches up there.
Yeah, it's definitely a solid pen for them, and Weathers has been a decent guy at the end of it all. It's funny, going into the year, I thought Navarre was going to be the guy that was going to close up there, but then when you look at Weathers' resume, you can understand why he's been getting the ball in the ninth. But I know Navarre was an arm that both you and I were impressed with last year when he was throwing for Laredo, and I think he battled some injuries to start the year, but it looks like he's starting to round into form.
Was Navarre the guy that was hitting like 99 or 98 on the gun?
Yes, he was. He was. I think we saw him in a series against the Saints and at the All-Star game. But command was an issue for him as far as the scouts go. So,
well, he's looking to be putting it together right now. Heading on to Sioux Falls, they got three wins over the top two teams in the American Association in beating Wichita Sunday and then beating the Saints the last two nights. They really look like they're turning things around.
Yeah, don't look now, but they're only seven games out. And that would put them four games out of the wild card. So Mike Meyer has done a good job there. He's had to shuttle some guys in and out, but it looks like he's getting a good mix right now, and things seem to be working there.
Boy, the one
I like
guy.
This
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Bullpen. Bullpen last night, Dylan Thompson threw two really good innings, got out of a jam, and I saw the closer, Jose Ortega, for the first time, and he was clocking in at 97 miles an hour. So that's two good guys to have at the end of the pen, and if the starter can get you five or six good ones, it's a pretty good chance that Sioux Falls will get enough offense where they'll win some games.
Yeah, that bullpen really is impressive in the fact that if you're not getting to their starter by the sixth, you have a really, almost no chance now of scoring against them after that point.
Yeah, watching the game last night, that's kind of how I felt. Once Sioux Falls took the lead in the, I believe it was seventh or eighth inning. And after that, you just kind of felt like, oh, okay, it's going to be tough to come back on this coup.
Yeah, Thompson.
So, it's good to see them competitive.
Thompson down to like a 0.3 ERA at this particular point. Absolutely crazy. The one guy on the team that I don't think is getting as much pub right now at the moment as Jabari Henry, who's had four home runs in the Wichita series and has just seemed to be hitting everything.
Yeah, they've had him kind of all over at the top of the order. They've had him lead off, hitting third, hitting fifth, and he's produced wherever they've put him. And, he's got good bats around him, too, with Burt Reynolds and Chris Jacobs and Blake Schmidt. And it's a really underrated team now, the Sioux Falls. They just got off to a real bad start. Otherwise, I think we'd be talking more about them as far as being at the top of their division.
The one guy we haven't really talked much about this season has been Joe Bircher, who seems to be struggling at the point, and that's not something we're used to talking about.
No, but it seems like the team he likes to face is St. Paul. He's 2-0 against them, and as we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, he's got the start against them up in St. Paul. So maybe the Saints will be the tonic that once again get Bircher on track.
Yeah, that's not something manager George Samus wants to hear. So heading on to the Central, we look at Kansas City first, which has jumped themselves into first place by getting on a 7-3 run of their own. This is a nice streak for them, but I think you and I have seen in this division that every team has seemed to have some big stretch of 7 or 10 games where they are really performing well, but nobody's really been able to sustain that over a 3 or 4 week period of time. Can the T-Bones be the kind of team that is able to sustain that kind of win streak?
I think they can be, but yeah, you're kind of spot on with that. Nobody seemed to be able to run away with the division, and it's kind of neat when you're going into last night's play. You had all five teams were at least four games over 500. Gary's sitting in last place, but two games out. So it's been an interesting division. But yeah, Kansas City, Cal Pietro has put together yet another fine ball club. And I don't see why not, why the T-Bones couldn't put together that kind of a run and kind of pull away. But it's a tough division, so we'll see how it goes for them. But they've had a lot of, as Dan Vaughn would say, they've had a lot of good news days lately, and going 7-3 in their last 10. So we'll see. Keep our eye on the T-Bones and see if they can manage to pull away in a real tough Central.
The one thing that you and I talked about a few weeks ago after Zach Walters was signed by the Kansas City Royals organization was who would step up on this team and really replace him in the lineup. They bring in two guys, Tyler Horan and Kyle Petty, who seem to be doing that exact thing for the T-Bones.
It's been impressive, man. One thing about a Joe Calipatri team, he knows how to go out and knows who to get for guys to plug into the lineup and pick up for whoever might leave. So it's been pretty impressive.
We talked about the addition of Matt Sergey last week. He already has two wins for the T-Bones. Real difference maker in this division, I think.
Oh, for sure. For sure. When you can add an arm like Sergey, it's definitely going to help you out. Starting pitching is so hard to find. And when you find a guy like that, it's definitely really nice to add. And Scott Carroll has been consistent, 4-2 with a 2.89 ERA. So pretty good ball club in KC. We'll see how they do as the summer wears on.
The Lincoln Salt Dogs go 4-6 over the last 10 and fall out of first place, a position they held, I think, for almost 3 weeks period of time. The hitting seems to have lost their mojo a little bit here.
Yes, maybe, you know, as they had traded Trevor Adams to Fargo, that was, like I said, he's kind of mercurial, but it's also a bad out of your lineup, and they make your order a little easier to pitch to. So they have been struggling. They kind of have been scrapping. They've been playing down in Texas and not getting the results they've wanted against the Air Hogs and Railroaders. So those are teams that, you got to be at least going 500 against, if not better, if you want to stay in the race in the Central.
Still a lot to like about this pitching staff in Lincoln, though, and one guy in particular that I just want to mention is Cameron McVay, who's doing a great job out of the bullpen for this group.
Yeah, McVay was kind of a forgotten guy. He was buried in Winnipeg's bullpen last season, but he's been a solid arm in the league ever since he's been in it for, I believe, 2 or 3 years now. And yes, he has definitely been a good arm for the South Dogs.
The Gary South Shore Railcats in third in the division right now. Huge void created when Anthony Checkey Jr. was released. I'm just looking at them and thinking this team just has to make a move to get some other bat in that lineup.
They do, but you just tell, you know, Greg Taggart has a ton of faith in the guys that he has, and I think he's just going to see it as the guys that are already there. Everyone's just going to have to step up and do a little bit more. I don't see this team as someone that's going to go out and sign a big name. This doesn't seem to be their style.
We talked about the Sioux Falls Canaries bullpen and how they've improved themselves. The Railcats had some arms to their bullpen as well and really look like a sharp group.
Yeah, we've seen it when they were in St. Paul a week or so ago to the end of the game. They seemed like once they got a lead, they held on to it. So important in this league to have good pitching at the end of the game, like we were talking about with a couple other teams. So Grayson Johnson has been closing well for them, and it's definitely nice to know that once you get a lead through the 6th or 7th that you're in pretty good shape.
Looking at Sioux City, the biggest news for them this week is Nate Hansen getting hurt. Now, this is a critical loss, but is it a crippling one?
You know, I think this is going to finally be the one that's going to be insurmountable for the Explorers. You know, just last week we were touting Samson as a half-season MVP, and a middle infielder like that with his kind of statistics. I just don't see them overcoming this one, and hopefully for his sake he can come back before the year's over, but it may be too late for the Explorers.
Well, I would think with them. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What a tough year. What a tough year for them as far as injuries go.
Because of
those injuries.
They
keep thinking the red in their uniform should be for the Red Cross.
That's not something I'm sure they want to hear. With all the injuries they're having, and now Samson injured, you got to think that the pressure for this team right here and any success they're going to have is totally dependent on their pitching staff.
Oh, definitely, yeah, and it didn't go well for Hire last night up in Winnipeg, but yeah, the pitching's going to have to do it, and they still do have some bats in the lineup. You know, Josh Bitters has been a huge disappointment for them. He was a veteran with a once-prized Chicago Cub prospect. I thought coming into this league was going to be good for him, and he was going to put up big numbers, but he has not performed for them. And yeah, you're gonna have to win some low scoring games. I just kind of find it ironic that with all these injuries that they have, that their field is called Mercy Field for Mercy Hospitals down in Sioux City. So,
kind of fitting for sure.
Yeah, in a morbid sort of way.
This week, Rob Ward also released by the team. We've seen him be so good for so long. It's just surprising to see him. That he's not going to be in a Sioux City Explorer uniform.
You know, I don't know if you got anything on that. I have not heard anything about that, whether that is injury-related or if he's just not playing anymore or what the deal was with that, but I did see that come across the wire.
I haven't heard from Rob directly about, I know he was sitting out a little bit for an injury, but I don't know if the injury has gotten to the point that they just, you know, decided to sit him out for the season, but boy, that's... The guy was just, it didn't matter whether you brought him in the third or the ninth, he just seemed to get the job done every time.
Yeah, he was one of those guys you'd call a rubber arm. It just didn't really seem like it didn't matter how many days you threw him out there or for how many innings he'd go out there and get the job done and just go about his business.
Heading to the South, the Wichita Wingnuts, the league's top team here at this particular point. Matt Chavez has just been absolutely on fire, named as the American Association Player of the Week last week. 390 batting average with 14 home runs and leading the league, I think, with 60 runs batted in at this point. I just don't get how this guy doesn't fit into an affiliate club's plans.
The only thing I can think of is, and granted, John Nogalski getting signed out of Sioux City kind of shoots down my theory, but so many organizations have the guy that can play first base and can hit for power and average, and it just seems like this time of year, most of the teams are looking for guys that can fill a specific need, whether it be a middle infielder or whatever, or a pitcher. And I just don't think you see a ton of teams that are looking for a first baseman right now.
That bat just...
But yeah, he deserves to be signed, don't get me wrong, but it just seems that... sometimes guys aren't signed by how they're doing, or it's more for what they can do as far as playing in the field.
Yeah, that could be true. The one area where the team seems to be having a little concern at this particular point is the pitching staff, where Tyler Kane and Ryan Kuschmal had to skip a start recently. Charlie Leisman put on the inactive list. Is this, at this particular point in the season, something that the team should really start to get themselves concerned about?
I don't think so. As I wrote to my blog last night, they can pretty much start printing playoff tickets down there. Just to get the guys healthy, bring some guys in, maybe stumble upon someone that's going to be even better. But no, at this point, just make sure the guys are fresh and ready to go by September 1st. Don't think the Nuts are in trouble.
Last week, you and I were talking about the Cleveland Railroaders and how losing a couple of those games to Salina was just a huge blow to their playoff chances. This team is really struggling right now, and I'm just wondering, maybe they're out of the race.
Yeah, at this point, I would say so. They're 4-6 in their last 10. I believe they lost even with their best pitcher, Patrick Mintz, going last night. And yeah, they're dropping too many games to teams below them in the standings, and I think we're starting to see that your wild card is going to come out of the North or the Central. And I just, at this point, I don't see the Railroaders having enough to make a run of it to get back into the wild card chase.
The saddest part of that is that this pitching staff has just been so good, but they just can't hit right now.
No, they can't. It's inconsistency has been a problem for them this year, and yeah, it's happening at a really bad time right now.
Boy, it seemed that they were in a prime situation to advance on, but let's head to Texas, the American Association's hottest team in the league right now at 8-2 over their last 10 games. There's just a lot of good things going on in Texas you got to like.
Yeah, go figure that, huh? Good news down there for them. You know, like they say, a little too late, but yeah, so it's good for the Airhawks to be playing competitive baseball and giving their fans something to cheer for. 8-2 in their last 10, and yeah, we're seeing some good individual performances down there, and you know, when you're down there too and you got a team as good as the Rangers playing only a few miles away, you gotta do something to get fans out to the ballpark, and down there you gotta be competitive or people can find other things to do in Texas in the summer.
You know, the interesting thing too is that people were kind of down on the move of Billy Martin Jr. being hired, coming out of being an agent and no managerial experience at all. And the team struggled out of the gate, losing 14 in a row at one point. But he really seems to have been, you know, learning. The learning curve has been steep, and he's been riding right along with it.
Yeah, you know, it's you got to get in there and get your feet wet. And I think you learn things here and there and trial and error. And right now, yeah, Billy Jr. is looking pretty good. And I'd like to see the Air Hogs finish strong and have some momentum going into next year.
The winning streak is kind of a bit of a surprise as James Russell heads to Mexico after being signed, I think it was on the 5th of July, a move I don't think anybody's surprised by, but I think the team's success with him gone is a surprise.
Well, for sure, yeah, Russell was always I would say Russell was probably Texas's version of what Mark Hamburger is up here in St. Paul, where the team felt confident with him on the mound every 5 days. The guy, if you're placing him in the All-Star game, Michael Freeman has been pitching well for them, too. So he may be the guy that they kind of look to be the ace of the staff now with Russell gone.
Yeah, they have three or four guys that are really having good seasons for them. So, and starting rotation, that is. The last team we look at here, the Salina Stockade, still, you know, working their way through the league right now. But, boy, the pitching staff really seems to be kind of gelling and molding together. And they're as competitive as it gets right now.
Yeah, they've been playing pretty well. I would have, you know, if you got them going and coming into your town for a 3-game series, you better come ready to play or they will sneak up on you and steal a game. I was kind of looking at their, a lot of the guys in their roster, and you like to think it's all a bunch of rookies, but it's not. They've even picked up some guys that other teams let go early in the season that have the extra motivation to prove their former teams wrong. So, yeah, it's definitely a team I wouldn't take lightly.
6-44 at the 50 game point, which puts me right on with what I was expecting for their record. So, Kevin, a lot of stuff going on this weekend around the league. What's the big things you're expecting to look at? What should we be watching for?
Well, I think the big series is going to be in St. Paul with Fargo coming to town to take on the Saints after the Saints took 2 out of 3 up there and kind of set the Red Hawks down. I'm sure the Hawks are looking to come to St. Paul and who knows, maybe getting a sweep and getting themselves back into the race. Another big series I see is Kansas City going up to Winnipeg. Two teams that are playing really well right now and two teams that, in Winnipeg's case, they need to catch the Saints, and in T-Bone's case, they need to stay on top of the Central. So, see that as being a really good series. And then, showdown series in the North is early next week with Saints going up to Winnipeg. I'm sure St. Paul will be hoping to have at least a 3-game lead going up there to start the series, and that'd definitely be 3 games to keep an eye on. I know last year, they had a series up there. The weather affected it quite a bit, and then St. Paul came back there. It turned into a 5-game series, and Winnipeg took 4 or 5 and turned the North into a tight division. So we know how something as simple as a series in Winnipeg can impact the race. So that'd be something to look out for, too.
I actually look at this next, like, 8 or 9 days and think Fargo-Moorhead is going to have a big say over what the rest of these playoff races are going to look like. They start out with, before they take on the Saints, where they have 3 against Kansas City and then go to St. Paul, and then next week they have Sioux Falls, and they could be the crippler for Sioux Falls. They could really damage St. Paul's division lead at this particular point, and could do a number in the Central as well. So that's an interesting team to be watching over the next 8 or 9 days.
Yeah, like we said, Sioux Falls has been playing better, so if I was Fargo, I would not be going into a series with them thinking they're just going to show up and win 3 games. So should be some good baseball.
It'd be interesting. You could think that Fargo could finish, the next time we do our show, Fargo could be in first in the North. They could be in last. So over the next 7 days. So interesting.
Who knows? Sioux Falls could be a couple games out by then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So could be an exciting week here for us in the American Association. Before we leave out for this week, we want to mention a few things to you. First of all, let's talk about our Twitter account, Kevin.
Yes, we've been picking up followers, and our Twitter handle is at TWITA Baseball. And every night we're retweeting game stories, starting lineups, scores as the games go on, and recaps, and anything else that we find newsworthy. So if you want to keep up on everything that's going on in the league, that would be your one-stop spot if you're a Twitter guy like myself. So feel free to follow us. The more people following, the more fun it is. So,
and we want you to send your comments in there to us on Twitter, too, so we can...
Oh, yeah, definitely that, too. Any comments, questions, feedback on our show we're doing here. So any feedback is good feedback. So love to hear from you.
I'm sure most of it will be more Kevin, less Rob. That's the feedback we'll hear, which I couldn't agree with.
It could be more Charlie. We don't know that. You don't know. Charlie could have a cult following that we don't know about. So
we also want to mention minorleaguesportsreport.com, where I'm covering the American Association. We'll be doing a story on Mike Meyer later today, manager of Sioux Falls Canaries. Mike Chavez will have a story about him this week, and Max Garrett as well from the Saints. And Billy Martin Jr. will be coming up this week as well. Kevin, what do you got going on the blog this week?
Well, I just came out with one last night, just kind of the news and notes throughout the league, and we're still working on our 25 years of St. Paul Saints baseball. We're through the year 2003, so I'm thinking either tonight or tomorrow I'll be coming out with the 2004 blog, which for Saints fans, that's an important one because that is the last championship that the Saints won, so it was a very eventful year. And I'm also working on it. We're coming up to the All-Star break, and my goal is by the All-Star break I will have a blog with my all-time Saints team on it. It's been a lot of work. There's going to be some guys that probably deserve to be on the team that won't make it. I can't add everybody. I can sure have a lot of honorable mentions, but there's going to be some tough decisions. But right around the All-Star game, I'll be coming out with my all-time 25-year St. Paul Saints team.
That's awesome. That would be super awesome. And the blog, again, for everybody to know?
Blog is 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com.
Awesome. And, again, out on the page that we have here on Minor League Sports Report has a link to Kevin's blog, so you can go out there and check it out and catch up with 25 great years of St. Paul Saints baseball. Kevin, any last thoughts we want to leave before we head out this week?
I believe we got it all covered. I'm just going to enjoy another exciting week of American Association baseball.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing you all next week, and thanks for joining us as we have this week in the association.